There we go. Okay, great. Now I am going to share my screen this morning because I love being able to use this wonderful system called PowerPoint. And so we're going to talk about some things that we have been talking about. And we have just another way of seeing it this morning. We'll try to move everything out of the way if I can. I think this will do it. No, let me see if I can go this side. Okay. Okay, I think that's going to help not block out anything. Or I could just. Okay, let me just drop this. I'm going to hide the video panel. So if by chance something happens, you can't see something or whatever, would you just unmute yourself and let me know? Because I won't be able to see you. All right. So I'm going to hide this so we can see everything. All right. There we are. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the word that you have prepared for us. This word we know comes straight from your heart today. And we don't take it lightly that you speak to our needs and you speak to our spiritual maturity and you speak to our futures in the word. And Lord, you speak to our hearts, and we just are grateful. This morning, thank you that you, by your Holy Spirit, have prepared our hearts with good soil as we hear the word of God today. Lord, we'll be fortified and encouraged and strengthened, and we thank you. And so now have your way with each one of us, including me as your vessel, Lord. I yield to you completely because this is your show, and it is your word. These are your people and your church. And so we thank you in advance for the glory that you will speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, amen. And so we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, Ephesians this evening. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And we're talking about the love factor. That's the subject, the love factor in Christ. So we have named this message, the love factor in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. I'm going to read it in the New King James today. Am I? Yes. Okay, yeah. Read it in New King James today. And now I'm going to ask you to participate a bit, if you can. If you have your Bible and you have a highlighter or something that you can mark in your Bible, then I'm going to ask you to mark a few things. Or if you're on the Bible app, and then I know they have highlighters on the Bible app, I'm going to ask you to highlight a few things as we read this morning. All right, so hang with me. Verses 3 through 14, and we read it like this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So now, if you will highlight the words in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him, will you highlight the words in him? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. Would you highlight by Jesus Christ? That is adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Would you highlight in the beloved? In the beloved. Verse 7, in him, would you highlight in him? Verse 7, in him. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Which you highlight in Christ right there in verse 10. In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Would you highlight in him right there? Verse 11. In him, would you highlight that in him in verse 11? In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him, would you highlight in him, verse 13, in him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. All right. I am trusting that you were able to highlight all those little places right there. If not, then that's okay. We could do that a little later if you have questions. All right. Now, the power of the love factor. Let's talk about this for a minute. As we read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, there were certain things that stood out that we will talk about today. But before we do, I want to summarize what Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 is saying to us. And sometimes, you know, it's important for us to do that summary, because as we are dealing with the King James version of English, we may not always get an understanding. And let me just preface that with saying that as we are in the Word of God, revelation comes upon revelation. And so we may speak on certain revelations today, but let's be clear to know that it does not exhaust all of the revelation that is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And so when we looked in verse 3, what we found here is we found that God has blessed us with all blessings that pertain to that of the Spirit. And the reason why I'm bringing that out is because of this. It says all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And for us to recognize that the blessing this verse of scripture is talking about is spiritual blessing as opposed to natural blessing. But I want to be clear on this, because there is a thin line here that we'll be talking about today. We recognize that in the spiritual blessings, the blessings that are spiritual, comes natural blessing. So it comes in the package, but today I want us to focus on the direct message that we're receiving. And the direct message that we're receiving from the Word of God today is speaking, is focusing primarily on the blessing that is spiritual in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to be clear, make sure I'm clear on this. When we're saying spiritual blessing, we're really not excluding natural blessings that we receive because we have the spiritual blessing. But today we're not focusing on the natural blessing that comes. All right. So blessings that are spiritual. In verse 4, because of God's love, he has chosen us in Christ to be holy and without blame in his eyes. That verse is saying to us, in God's eyes, we're holy and without blame. In Christ, we are holy and without blame. Now, let me speak very quickly to the idea that, well, if you tell the people that they're holy already and they don't have blame and it doesn't require their effort, then people will just live any kind of way. And that's why I highlighted this word love. See, it's a part of the power of the love factor here. God's love towards us causes us to love him back. That's just how his love works. John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. See, that's just the thing about God's love. As we receive the love of God, who loves us so much that he has done all these wonderful things for us. Without our effort, he has given it to us as a gift. Through Jesus Christ, he has made us holy and without blame. When we receive that love, it's an automatic response that we just love him back. And in the loving him back comes the need for us, the desire for us to be obedient to his commands. See, so the power of the love factor here is what eliminates a person who, once they know they're holy already, been made holy, and they are without blame in the eyes of God because we're in the Son, it doesn't cause us to live any kind of way. No, what it does is it compels us to love God and then to keep his commandments because of our adoration to God. That is the power of the love factor that we're talking about today. Verse 5 says, He predetermined, God did. God predetermined before the world existed to adopt you and I as his children by his Son, Jesus Christ. See, this was on purpose. It didn't just happen. This isn't just coincidence. You know, this was what he determined before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. And we find out in verse 5 that it is his good pleasure. It is his will to do this, and he's pleased about it. I love it. And verse 6 says, God made us accepted. So we are accepted, made accepted. I wanted to keep the same language there so that we could get the nuance of being made accepted. Not even just acceptable, but accepted to God and his Son, in whom he is well pleased. Because he let us see it this way. We are in his Son, whom God said he is well pleased. And as he is well pleased with his Son, he is well pleased in us who are in his Son. That same well pleased, it is also for us as well who are in his Son. And verse 7 says, God's grace gifted redemption, the forgiveness of sins to us, you and I, all believers everywhere. In Christ, by Christ's atoning blood, redemption. I highlighted that word so I would remember to remind us what redemption actually is. Because see, redemption is a part of that power of the love factor. When we actually get it, that Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, the beloved of the Father, who had no sin, who knew no sin, in him was no sin, he took our sins on himself and he paid our penalty of death so that we wouldn't have to, that our sins be forgiven, that we would be redeemed from the control of sin, bought, purchased by blood. Redemption, God's grace gifted us. The redemption that freed us from the law of sin and death, that freed us from the curse, that freed us from the condition of sin through his Son, Jesus Christ. And see, in the understanding of the totality of the greatness of that kind of love, we can't help but love God back. And in that love comes the desire to be the pleasing that he has made us, the desire to live the righteousness that he made us, the power of the love factor. Now, verse 8, in so doing, God poured his kindness, his wisdom, and his understanding on us when, through the gift of the redemption and the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus, and he also allowed us to know the secrets of his plan. He allowed us to know the secrets of the great mind of God. It is God that reveals to us his thoughts and his plan and his purpose and his intellect and his wisdom. It is God that allows us that allows us into the intel of his wisdom, which is far greater than any mind could ever have. And in so doing, this plan that he allowed us to know, this is it, to unite us as one, to unite as one all things that are in Christ. That's God's plan, and that's his purpose, to unite as one all things that are in Christ, both in heaven and in earth, in the fullness of God's timing. That's his plan. See, he let us know the plan because that plan is in the future. Oh, it is now, yes, but there is a greater part of it in the future when Christ comes back. To unite us as one under the authority of Jesus Christ. And we'll see later on that as one being both the Jew and the Gentile, to unite us as one. And in this plan of God, we obtain an inheritance. That inheritance, in the context of this scripture, is the salvation that is in Christ. We obtained that in Christ. It was first to the Jew, and then by the Jew's testimony and by the Jew's preaching of the gospel, then it branched out to the Gentiles. See, that was God's plan. He planned that from the foundation of the world, that he would do it that way. And when we use the term Gentiles, we're actually talking about all other people that are not Jews, but so to the Jew first. And then when the Jews came to faith in Jesus Christ and came to understand the love factor that made them the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, then they began to testify of that love and testify of this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And then all other people heard the gospel and also became one with Christ through the gospel that they heard. And then God, he gave us the Holy Spirit, who seals us. The Holy Spirit who seals us with a guarantee of the inheritance of the salvation until at such time as we see in the future the redemption of our bodies. That is sealed. In this context, it means several things. Let's understand this. When God gave us the Holy Spirit that sealed us, it sealed us to know this is a finished transaction. It is finished that we are in Christ, redeemed, the holy ones, without blame, in the eyes of God. It's a finished deal. And it speaks of ownership, which redemption does as well. We've been purchased and we are owned now by God. He owns us and we are in him. And then the security. The Holy Spirit is the security for us to know that you are secured in this relationship that you have with the Father through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So this is a summary of what we read in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. But what is all of that saying? It's saying this, and I want you to see this. If you look at your own Bible and look at the highlights, look at everywhere it says in Christ or in him or in the beloved or by Jesus Christ. And it was by him that God did all of these things. We see the bullet points. He blessed us. and he chose us. He made us holy and without blame. He adopted us as sons with rights and privileges. Let me explain this word adopted here. Because see, when we see the term children of God, we understand children of God as the regeneration that happens when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we become children of God, that speaks of the regeneration on the inside that gives us the nature of God's children. We become God's children in the regeneration. But this word adopted in the context in which it is in this scripture, the adoption here speaks of position. We now have the position as sons. And the positions of sons has rights and privileges. So let me make sure I made that clear. In Jesus Christ, we are given a regeneration, a new creation as children of God, a new nature. We have become the children of God. And also adopted as sons means we have been positioned as sons with rights and privileges. Glory to God. What else did God do? He made us accepted. He redeemed us and forgave our sins. He revealed the secrets of his plan of redemption to us. He united us as one under the authority of Christ. He gave us the inheritance of salvation. God did all of this. He sealed us with his Holy Spirit, which guaranteed the redemption of our corruptible bodies in the time to come to incorruptible. Our mortal bodies to immortality at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 53 through 55. The guarantee that we have now, that we are sealed and never to be unsealed. Glory to God. All of this God did in Christ. Now, when we look at this, brothers and sisters, it was my hope that as we saw this in black and white before our eyes, we could see that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, it is the account of God. It is God's purpose and plan that he made sure was recorded so that the church in Ephesus and every other church after that could see what his plan and purpose is for humanity, so that we could see our union with him, so that we could see and understand who we are in Christ Jesus, so that it would not be a mystery to us that in Christ Jesus we have been given all these things, and that we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what God has done, he is pleased with. As he is pleased with you and I. And we can see the bullet points here. God and our Lord Jesus Christ has done all the work. Can we see this? They have done all the work to make us the children of God, the beloved of the Father, to make us the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, with rights and privileges in the spiritual realm as we are residing here as foreigners in the natural realm. See, God and Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done all the work. Oh, I'd love to sit here so we could just wrap our mind around that for a minute. But let's move on for the sake of time, because I have a story to tell you. I have a story to tell you, and it's a quick story. And we're going to use this story today so that we can bring some context to our own lives of what this could look like. This is the story of Mark, Tim, and Jack. And Jack and Tim are besties. They're best friends, you know. As you see them, they play together, they go to school together. They've been knowing each other for a really long time. And so Jack and Tim are best friends. Well, Mark is Jack's older brother. Mark is Jack's older brother. He's a teenager. See? And so in this day of the story, Jack and Tim are playing, and they're having a really good time, and it's a weekend, and they're playing. And, you know, do you remember when you were a child, when your cousins came and all your, you know, or you played with your friends down the street, and you didn't want that good time to end. So what would we say? Oh, can we spend the night? You know, that was the thing. We just wanted somebody to spend the night so the fun wouldn't have to end. And so Jack goes to his parents and say, Mom, Dad, can Tim spend the night? And Mom, Dad said, well, sure, if it's okay with Tim's parents. So they run to Tim's house, and Tim said, Mom, Dad, can I spend the night over Jack's house? And so, you know, they've done this many times before, and the parents know each other. They know it's safe. And so the parents said, yes, Tim, you can spend the night at Jack's house. And, you know, go ahead and get your pajamas and go on down there. And Tim, when you get there, behave yourself now. You know, isn't that something we would say as parents? Behave yourself. Tim and Jack's excited. They go. And so they get in the house and they're playing. And it's almost time for bed. And so at Jack's house, then when it's almost time for bed, Jack has permission to go to the pantry and choose a snack. Well, just any snack he wants. He goes into the pantry at a particular time before bed. See, that is his right and his privilege to do. So he says to Tim, let's go to the pantry and get our snack. And so in comes Mark in the story. Mark, the teenager. Mark, the one who obviously doesn't have anything better to do. Mark says, oh, I'm going to play a prank on these two. Mark says, oh, watch this. This is going to be fun. So as Tim and Jack are running down to the pantry to get their snack, then Mark, he goes and he hides beside the refrigerator so they can't see. So Jack, he opens the pantry, and oh, it's filled with all of the good snacks that he just loves. But he knows today he can only get one snack, so he chooses a candy bar. Then he says, go ahead, Tim, get your snack. And Tim is looking, and he's mesmerized at all these snacks that's here that he can just choose whatever he wants. And so Tim, he chooses the Cheetos. And so Tim, as he's reaching out to grab the Cheetos, well, Mark jumps out from behind the refrigerator and says, don't you touch that. And Tim, he falls back, and he's shivering, and he's afraid, and he just doesn't know what to do, and he's afraid and about to cry because, oh, he's thinking, did I do something wrong? Was I not supposed to? What's happening here? Am I in trouble? Tim is timid and fearful, and he's shaking. But Jack, though, however, Jack, who knows who he is, Jack, who knows what belongs to him, Jack turns to Mark and says, Mark, leave us alone or I'm going to tell Mom and Dad. Oh, glory to God. Now, that's my story. That's my story. Mark goes on and he slithers off with a smirk on his face. Now, we can make this story come alive for our life. And so, let's identify the people here. Well, we know Jack is the son, and Jack knows who he is. Jack knows his rights and privileges. Jack knows what belongs to him, and he knows he has authority, and he knows that he has the right to be where he is and to choose. And so his response to Mark was much different than Tim. Tim wasn't sure of all this. Tim was timid. And he was fearful in the face of his opposition because he was unsure of his place. He was unsure of his status here. He didn't know whether or not he really had a right to what was promised him. See, and then Mark in our lives, Mark is life circumstances. Mark is the things that just happen. Just because we're alive, you lose a loved one. You know, things like that. That's who Mark represents, just life circumstances, these things that just happen. And he also represents the consequences of our mistakes and our missteps. See, that's Mark jumping out to scare, to come and be opposition towards you. And Mark is, you know, the consequences of mistakes of others, even against us. Mark also can represent the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Mark, this, the devil, as we know him, the father of lies. That's who Mark represents. And so in this story, we have to ask ourselves, who are we? Who am I in this story? When life's circumstances and things come against, when the opposition comes, who am I? Because what we see here is each person has responded according to who they know they are. Jack responded in authority because he knows who he is. Tim responded with fear and timid and drawing back, fearful, because he's not sure of who he is. Now, we have to ask ourselves, do we know? And the circumstances of life. When Monday happens, who are you? When Wednesday happens, who are you? And can we be honest with ourselves and say that at some times I may be Jack, and then at other times I may be Tim? Oh, but the question is, though, do we know who we are? Glory to God. Because when we know who we are, it will determine how we respond to opposition. Now, I'm about to close here. We need to know something. What is our part? And I placed on this frame right here, again, to remind us, God's part. All the things that God has done already for us through Jesus Christ. These are things we already are. And that we already have. We can put it this way. God's part has given us our identity in Jesus Christ. This is who we are. So then what is our part? Well, I know it's going to sound simple, but the walking it out is not always as simple as it sounds. Our part, since God has blessed us, is to be blessed. That is our part. And to be the chosen that we have been given. To be the holy and without blame in a situation whereby we've messed up. We know, however, though, but in the eyes of God, because I am in Jesus Christ, I am holy and without blame. See, that to be who we've been made. To be adopted as sons with rights and privileges when we're standing in a place where life is telling us, no, you cannot have, and no, you cannot be. To be the accepted in the Son that is pleasing to God. To be the redeemed, knowing that our sins are forgiven. I said, our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. And we know that we are united as one under the authority of Christ to be who we've been made, to have that confidence of the guarantee of the seal of the Holy Spirit that's inside of us, that is constantly and continually confirming with us and affirming in us that we are children of God, of the Most High in Christ Jesus, and that will never change. That's our part, brothers and sisters. To be. Isn't that what Mom Swan says all the time? That's our part. Be what we have been made. And in the illustration of the story that we just heard, and as we be and know and are confident in who we've been made, our response becomes automatic. We automatically respond as children, accepted by God with a right and a privilege. Because we've been blessed in heavenly realms. Glory to God. That is our part. And now, how, very quickly, if you give me a few minutes. We've talked about what and who. We see here the summary of who, and certainly it's not, that's not all, but for today's message, we see the who, but then how? How do we be? How do we be what we've been made? Because there's a becoming of be. There is a growing, and there's a process we call spiritual maturity. So how do we be then? Well, we see the illustration here. It's in God's word, and we know these things. But let's refresh our memory. Let's allow the Holy Spirit at this moment to speak to our hearts and say, well, maybe, yes, get in God's word a little more. I need you to go deeper in God's word and these things that we'll talk about. Let the Holy Spirit guide you through this screen right here. We know God's word, and it is what reminds us. It's a mirror for us. We get to see who we are in Christ Jesus, and we get to see who he is in the word. We get to know what he's given us, and we get to know what is rightfully ours. We get to know in God's word. And then in time alone with God, in prayer in English, in prayer in the spirit, in praise and worship. And we cannot downplay that portion of praise and worship before God. He made it important to him in the word. And so we engage in this praise and worship and in prayer and time alone with God. And I should have put on there too, just be silent before God, to sit before him and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, that time alone with God. How do we be as we're becoming, as we're walking out what we've been made in the community of believers, as we worship God together, as we serve him together, as we work in the kingdom together in the community of believers? It helps us to grow up in becoming and fortified and walking out what we, whom we've already been made. And then we take every opportunity that life brings to us to practice. We practice the truth. We practice the truth. What do you mean by that? Every opportunity that life brings that's in opposition of what God said about us, then we practice who we are. We practice and we stand in the face of opposition. And we tell opposition, you may not know, but I know that I am the beloved of God. And God said that I am this. God said I can have this, and therefore I will have it. We practice in every opportunity that comes our way. This is how. This is the how that we need today. We're doing the how already, aren't we? But yes, let us continue. And in the areas that the Holy Spirit will guide us, let us engage even more. And now I'm closing with this, because we have to see, what does this look like? What is all of this being? What does it look like? We need an example to see what it looks like. And if you'll go with me to John chapter 10, and I am closing with this, John chapter 10, verses 14 through 18, we're going to look at the one whom we are in. Oh, he is the best example for us on how do we walk this out. You say practice it in every opportunity that life gives us, to practice being in Christ in the manner in which he has made us. Then let's look at Jesus and see how he did it. Oh, this is going to help us. John chapter 10, verses 14 through 18. I'm going to read it in the New King James. Jesus says to the opposition, Jesus says to those who refuse to know him as who he is, Jesus says to trouble that is quickly on its way toward him. Jesus says this, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and I am known of my sheep. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, speaking of the Gentiles, speaking of us, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And in the face of opposition, in the face, he says in verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father. Oh, come on. That's the example that we need right here. In the face of our day-to-day and moment-by-moment. Because what we see here is that Jesus declared to the opposition who the Father made him. And in this verse, verse 14, Jesus was saying to them that he is the covenant God of Psalm chapter 23. And see, they knew that back then. You know, we have to research it to find that out. But when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, they knew Jesus was telling them, I am the covenant God of Psalm 23. See, he told them, declared right to their face who he is. And then he declared that he belongs to the Father. See, he knows who he is and he made it known to them. Then he stated God's purpose and plan for his life. He knew it. He knew what God's purpose and plan was, and he stood firm on it. He knew that in the opposition of the trouble of death that was coming his way, he didn't back down and say, well, maybe I got it wrong, or well, maybe that's not really God's plan. Oh, no, he knew what it was, and he didn't move off of God's purpose and plan for him. And then in verse 17, Jesus's response of obedience to the Father's love for him. We see it there. We see it here. He said in verse 17, the Father loves me, and because I lay my life down, because this is what he commanded me to do, Jesus says, I love the Father, and I do all things that he tells me to do. See, oh, this is our example. And then in verse 18, he proclaimed his authority. He proclaimed his authority over the opposition. And he said to the opposition, now see, yes, I will die at your hand, but don't get it twisted. You can't take my life from me. I lay it down because the Father told me to. But don't get it twisted. I will take it up again because I have authority to do what I've just proclaimed. And his authority came from the commandment that the Father had given him. This is our example today, brothers and sisters. Oh, because we are in Christ Jesus and we are the beloved of Christ Jesus. And because we are, we see here what the way we are to live in this life. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. And so I just want to know, are you ready to speak to that mountain? You have mountains. Are you ready to speak to that mountain from the position of knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, the beloved child of God, who has rights and privileges as sons in him? Glory to God. Oh, I believe God today that as we have seen it, we've seen it again with our own eyes, and it's been preached. Oh, yeah, we knew it, but we've seen it again. We've been energized, I believe. I trust God by his word today to walk in our Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and to look at that mountain, whatever that mountain is in your life, and take your stand in the position of knowing who you are in Jesus Christ, and then watch what God will do. because he does the work. Praise the Lord. Ah, glory to God. Come on and pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the word of God today that just simply reinforces and highlights some things that we already knew. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ability and the right and the privilege in Jesus Christ to walk this out. Father, my brothers and sisters are facing oppositions of all kinds. And if not today, then tomorrow. Because in this life, you told us we would have trouble, but we could be of good cheer. You have overcome the world for us. Lord, let us grow up continually in understanding that the work of our salvation is done, is finished, and that our part is to simply be it, to be what you've made us to be. And we trust in you. We trust in your grace that is sufficient for us, knowing that it is your strength that's made perfect in weakness. And the power of Christ rests upon us, Lord. Glory to God. And we thank you. We thank you for this word. And thank you that the seed of this word grows up in us every day. Becomes trees of righteousness every day. Produces the fruit, the good fruit, Lord God, of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, bless the Lord. Amen. 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 All right. I trust him that you have been blessed by the word this morning. Trust you have been blessed this morning. Hallelujah. All right. Let's do our announcements. Our announcements on Wednesday at 7, of course, we'll be online for our midweek service. And then Friday at 7 Eastern Time, we'll be on site in Oxon Hill. This Friday, we will possibly be at, let me say for sure. This Friday, for sure, we will be at Eastover Shopping Center. Eastover Shopping Center in front of the Giant this Sunday. And also online, this Friday for prayer. And also online. And then next Sunday, we will be at the library at 2 p.m. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, yes, I will. Princess texts out the service recording. I will. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's respond to the word just really quickly. I only have one for you. Would you unmute yourself and say this with me? I am God's child.
I am God's child.
With all the rights and privileges as son.
With all the rights and privileges as sons.
Therefore, I stand confident in who I am in Christ.
I stand confident in who I am in Christ.
Against all opposition. And then see the working of our Father through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. This is how miracles happen, isn't it, in our lives? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, then let's look to the Lord and be dismissed. Let us see. Our brother Alex, would you pray us out?
Yeah, we thank you for this week. coming up. You go in knowing that our search cannot be denied. You go in knowing that what the Father has said about us is true. Regardless of what we encounter, what we see, what we hear, what we read, we go in knowing the Bible says. And what the Bible says is the only thing we're standing on. And it says, I'm the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. I don't beg, I don't plead, I don't cry, I don't mumble, I don't complain. I simply be, I walk into, I step into, I carry out, I lay hold of my place, my position. I'm the righteousness of God. Regardless of how I feel in the morning, regardless of my emotions, my feelings, my temperament, I am the righteousness of God. God, I declare this people will not only say they're the righteousness of God, their works, their behavior will reflect that. Their actions this week will reflect that. Everywhere they go, their walk be consumed by knowing I act like I'm the Son of God. I talk like I'm the Son of God. Ooh, Jesus. My thoughts are like the Son of God. I will not do, say anything the Father has not said or done. I think that wherever I go, that I'm a willing vessel for what you want to do. God, I thank you that your people will shine this week. Jesus, there'll be a light everywhere they go. An opportunity will present itself. And this people, under the sound of my voice, will respond immediately. Okay, you need me to pray? The word of God says, oh, Jesus, that you heal right now. The word of God says, you have peace. Right now, the word
Did
of
you make
God
it in
says,
class on Friday and Saturday?
your joy
There's no
is
class Saturday.
full. The word of God says, there's no lack, nowhere in your house. We're not waiting for it. You're going to say this this week. You're not waiting for it. Not looking around for the manifestation. You already know it has already happened because you don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. God, I thank you that every door will open this week that has been shut. We thank you for that. But we thank you for the opportunity for this people to put their hand to work. Oh, they've heard. They're not just a hearer of the word, they're doers of the word. And this word this morning says, you know who we are in Christ Jesus because our faith worketh by our love. And our love is the love of God. It's not conditional, it's not temperamental. It doesn't change with the wind. It's sound. It's solid because its foundation is the word of God. Bless their homes where they work.
Jesus.
the children. Oh, God. Oh, reach out even to friends, neighbors. Oh, and again, when opportunities pop up, this people must step up to the plate and apply what they've been taught. They will apply what they've been shown in the word. They're going to lay on hands, and the sick are going to get healed. If they encounter someone who's dead, they will get up. If someone plays a trick, like we did with the story of Jack and Tim and the brother Mark, if someone plays a trick and puts something on their food or try to cast a spell, listen, this people are going to know that they are not just powerful, they're going to repel it with your word. Ah, thousands shall fall all around me, 10,000 on my right, it shall not come near me. If I drink anything daily, it shall have no effect on my body, on my mind, my spirit, and we call it so and say it's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. We receive that prayer. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Brother Alexander the Billionaire, for praying over us today. All right, everybody. Enjoy your Sunday. We'll see you online Wednesday or Friday or Sunday, next Sunday. Be blessed. And as we know, man, Jesus loves you so much. And I do too, but Jesus loves you so much more. All right. Goodbye, everybody. See you soon.